And welcome into the Local Zone here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. I am Brooks Carter, the host of the show here. You can follow me on Twitter at Brooks A. Carter and follow the show accounts at Local Zone 105.1. And you can follow my guest host, who will be with me typically every Wednesday, but he had something going on yesterday, but he's here with me today. Here on Thursday, it is Jamal Williams. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on with you.
Absolutely. Jamal hosted what was a half year's worth of podcast episodes with it. We went about 26 episodes long on the fifth quarter on ESPNChattanooga.com. And as this show began to get into the works, we kind of stopped doing the podcast as we kind of focused up on this, or as I did. And I like Jamal so much that I asked if he wanted to come in once a week and still sit in the studio with me.
Hey, I'm just glad I didn't scare you off. I know I can get a little crazy sometimes.
You can follow Jamal on Twitter at JWilliamsWDEF. For those of you that don't know Jamal, shame on you, first of all, but Jamal, give everybody a little bit of a bio on yourself.
Well, I've been in Chattanooga for about 5 years. I'm the morning show anchor for Channel 12, so you can catch me every morning on Channel 12 from 5 to 7 a.m., worked in sports. I was the weekend sports anchor at Channel 12 for about 3 years before I started to give up on sleep and wake up every morning.
Same here. I don't sleep. I mean,
at this point, there's basically no sleep when you have to be up at that time.
Well, people probably begin to wonder. I've had several people ask me, they're like, I've heard you on radio at like all hours of the day. Do you actually sleep? Because they hear me doing morning traffic, then they hear me in the afternoons now, and then I've occasionally filled in for Press Row, and then they hear me on Saturday mornings when I'm producing the show from 8 to noon for Paul and Weston Wamp.
And then think about it. Both of us like sports, and sports typically happen at night.
When we're supposed to be in bed, but we're not.
Keyword supposed to, which means there's a lot of caffeine involved in getting up at that time. Whole lot of it.
So I used to work at Channel 3, for those of you that don't know that, up at WRCB, and I worked the morning shift that Jamal is on now. It's actually sleeping in comparatively now. I don't have to be at work till 5 a.m. now. I used to have to be in at 3:30 a.m.
Yep, that's where I'm at now.
And I remember my news director asked me one time, she said, I saw you tweet something at like 10 o'clock last night. Are you getting enough sleep?
Nope.
Like, I can sleep when I'm dead.
There you go. I'm not going to miss these games. I'm just not going to do it. Every night I say, you know what? I'm going to go to bed and I'll just watch the game till I fall asleep.
There you go.
And it never works out that way.
Once again, this is the Local Zone every weekday from 2 to 3 p.m. I am Brooks Carter. He is Jamal Williams, my guest co-host once a week. As I mentioned, normally he'll be in every Wednesday, but he's hanging out with us here on Thursday. Here in the first week, he had something going on yesterday. You can listen to the show online at ESPNChattanooga.com. You can always listen as well. If you got an Alexa, a smart home device hanging out at home, just ask Alexa to enable that ESPN Chattanooga skill, then ask her to play ESPN Chattanooga. And if you're headed out of town and still want to listen in to our show or our station, anything like that, you can listen on that TuneIn Radio app. Just search ESPN 105.1 The Zone on there and favorite the station. It'll pull up every time you come in. Coming up on today's show, no guest, because I don't need a guest when I've got Jamal here. We are going to look through a few of the local events coming up this week. Obviously, Lookout's opening day today. We'll talk about that. Woo-hoo. Coming up here in the Big Three. Looking ahead to some stuff coming up this weekend. Going to touch on an interesting topic. Johan Camargo had a big night for the Braves last night in their comeback victory over the Cubs. And a lot of people are talking about how they think he should be an everyday player. We're going to debate that coming up in the second segment. Coming up right around 2:30, a little after that, if you never listened to the fifth quarter, Jamal and I did something on there where we kind of just totally take a break away from everything that is sports and look at some funny news headlines, just kind of whatever, just goofy stuff.
They're off the wall.
Every time. And we called it Halftime Happenings in our podcast. We're just going to keep that same name here. We got a couple of funny things going on coming up in that one. But then, as I mentioned, we're going to start off with our three big things here. Let's go ahead and get into it.
What's making the local and regional sports headlines? Find out now.
All right, number three today, starting out with Lookout's opening day. And just a reminder, in case you have not been listening to the station the last few days, Press Row will be there live today from 3 to 6, broadcasting remotely with David J. and Wells hanging out. They'll have a couple of guests coming on to help preview and tease ahead to the Lookout's opening day. And this is a a bigger opening day than recent years, as they are now rekindling that relationship with the Cincinnati Reds.
That's right. This is an exciting time. These are all players that haven't been playing in Chattanooga before. I know we lost a couple of fan favorites, but now the better part about the Reds is we can actually watch them easily on TV. When these guys that we're going to see playing at AT&T Field get called up, it's not going to be a struggle to follow them in the majors anymore, because the Reds are literally, you could pop in the car and drive right up there.
Yeah, it's a five-hour drive.
It's not bad at all.
From Chattanooga to Cincinnati. And as you mentioned, it's always kind of randomly that they're on TV, but they're on TV every day in the Chattanooga market on one of those other Fox Sports regional channels, so you can always check them out there. Let's run through some of the prospects here to familiarize our Chattanooga audience with them, with some of the top players in the farm system. You mentioned they're getting rid of some old fan favorites. Well, here's an opportunity to get some more.
That's right. That's what this is all about. They have the Reds' number two prospect, Taylor Trimble. He's headlining the list for them. He's an outfielder. He spent last year at Daytona Beach. He hit 831 extra base hits in 110 games. He's supposed to be pretty good. I think he's going to be a player that a lot of people are going to grow to like.
Yeah, he is listed as one of the top 20. He is listed in the top 20 on several MLB-wide prospect lists coming out of this winter into spring ball. As you mentioned, down in that league in Daytona Beach, he had a 781 OPS last year, batting average of 277, 31 extra base hits, 25 steals. So a guy, really one of those all-around five-tool players. Their ace for this team is supposed to be, bear with me on a lot of these names. I'm sorry. You got a country boy here trying to pronounce some of these names. Tony, I can get that one pretty well. Tony Santillan, he's a 21-year-old right-hander. He was a second-round pick back in 2015. He has crept into the top 100 prospect list for a lot of MLB camps coming out of the winter ball leagues. He posted a 308 ERA and advanced A and double A last season, striking out 134 while only allowing just 38 walks. So that's a great strikeout to walk ratio. I imagine he will be on the hill tonight for the Lookouts in their home opener. A couple of other pitchers looking through here. They've got a 24-year-old left-hander entering his third full season in the minor leagues, and he has a career 3.41 ERA in over just a little over 300 career innings.
Don't forget about the catcher, Tyler Stevenson. The Reds picked him 11th back in 2015, and he was a midseason All-Star last year. So they have a lot of talent on this team.
Yeah, and they've got, not to be confused with NFL Hall of Famer Chris Carter, but they do have a guy who is going to be playing first base for them named Chris Carter.
I wouldn't be upset if they got NFL Hall of Famer Chris Carter in a jersey, though. That wouldn't make me mad at all. I'd actually go to see that. He probably doesn't play baseball very well, but I'd still watch.
Who knows? No relation to me either. moving on here to number two on our big three. I touched on this yesterday, but I wanted to I honestly just found it in the last segment of the show, in the last break of the show, and I didn't really give my due diligence towards how incredible this actually is. We have a team here locally just down the road, the Dalton High School Catamounts, who received the number one national ranking of all high schools across the United States for high school boys soccer.
Way to go, Dalton. And, you know, the Catamounts have really been a bit of a dynasty when it comes to soccer. They won 2013, 2014, and 2015 state titles. And keep this in mind, in a 16-game winning streak, they outscored their opponents 99-2. That's in soccer. 16 games, they had 99 goals. That's insane.
The thing that's crazy about it, too, is like, so, you know, we see a lot of scores coming across the box score and whatnot on these local websites or high school websites, whether it be the Times Free Press Chattanooga, or if you go on Coach T's website or anything like that. And when it's softball and baseball, you don't see scores of that magnitude because they get run ruled.
Right, right.
They play all 90 minutes in soccer. They don't stop the game. They play all 90 minutes.
That's because there's not typically that many goals.
I know. I mean, this is like the Golden State Warriors of high school soccer right now.
I'm telling you, normally when I used to go shoot soccer when I was working sports all the time, I'm just praying that I get one goal. Just give me a goal. Just that's all I'm saying. Because if I have to try and put together some highlights with no goals, it's rough.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's rough. I was told once that soccer is just kickball if you have no goals.
Yeah, so shout out to Dalton. They improved to 14-0 Tuesday night with a 4-1 win over a very, very good Baylor school Red Raiders soccer program. And the guy who is their head coach, Matt Chivas, he's been there for 25 years. And I would be interested to find out what his career record is, having been there for so long. Because, I mean, you mentioned the three-peat that they had at the state level. Mm-hmm. In the state championship, they've won state championships dating back to the early and mid 2000s as well. So, and that whole area is extremely good when it comes to soccer. When you start taking a look, Northwest Whitfield won the Class 4A state championship last year. Southeast Whitfield has competed for state championships before. That whole area is just really, really good. And you know, yesterday I had on Coach Hankinson, the head coach of the Chattanooga Red Wolves. They've got that kind of that feeder team that's like the USL League Two.
Yep.
The Dalton Red Wolves.
That's right.
I don't think that was by mistake. I think they strategically placed that team down in Dalton because of how many good local players they have down there.
Look, traditionally this area is a football area, but it looks like the Tennessee Valley is starting to have a bit of soccer fever. Because there's soccer everywhere, and these soccer teams are good, and people are loving it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no debate. I mean, Chattanooga has proven itself to be the Lookouts used to be the only thing in town when it came to any sort of professional feel.
That's right.
And now the CFC's been here for 10 years now, and you got the Red Wolves coming into town. Mm-hmm. The soccer has blown up. I mean, I know I've talked a lot about the soccer here the first few days of the show here on the Local Zone, and I myself have never really grown up as a huge soccer fan, but you can't help but feel the excitement surrounding the soccer here in Chattanooga. And
it's the atmosphere at the games. Even if you're not a soccer fan, you go there and you get into the songs and you don't sit down, and it's the atmosphere at these soccer games. It just draws you in, and you keep going back afterwards.
Moving on to number one here, we talked about Jordan Bone yesterday entering the NBA draft, or announcing that he will be going to the NBA draft. I'm going to go ahead and play a piece of audio here from him. We're going to talk more expansively about the Vols, the four players potentially going pro. They've got two seniors, obviously, with Admiral Schofield and Kyle Alexander. Now a third one with Jordan Bone, and then the big fish out there right now, two-time SEC Player of the Year, Grant Williams, has not announced what he's going to do yet. But Jordan Bone's Instagram video was left open to a bit of interpretation.
Vol Nation, I want to begin by saying thank you. Your incredible support this season meant the absolute world to me and my teammates. It was a very special year, and you played a major role in making it so much fun. Wearing the Tennessee uniform is an incredible honor for me and something I honestly cherish. I've grown so much, personally and athletically, these last 3 years. I'm now blessed to have the opportunity to enter the 2019 NBA Draft, showcase my abilities for NBA personnel, and receive valuable feedback that will help me to continue to develop. I plan to make the most of this opportunity and use the experience and feedback to make the most informed decision possible about my basketball future. I'm going to lean on my family as well as Coach Barnes and the staff here at Tennessee through these next steps. We're all in this together. I know I'll have the support of Tennessee fans everywhere as we work through this process. Go Vols, and God bless.
Nothing about hiring an agent, and definitely did not rule out, if you read the interview with 24/7 Sports, has not ruled out returning.
Well, it's a business move, because under the rules, he can hire an agent now. He can hire an agent and still go back to school.
That is right. I did forget about that.
That's the new rule. He can hire an agent, no big deal anymore. He can hire the agent as long as he takes part in the combine. If he goes undrafted, no sweat off his back, he fires the agent, goes back to school. This is to see where he's at. If he gets picked, great, he's not coming back. If the NBA decides, you know what, you need another year, and nobody selects him, he's back on Rocky Top, and he's nonetheless. I think this is great for those guys, but it's going to be tough for Rick Barnes because he's sitting there on pins and needles wanting his guys to get drafted, but at the same time, I want you back.
I wouldn't mind if you came back.
Exactly.
Our intern Dylan is working on an article that'll be up later this afternoon on ESPNChattanooga.com, kind of breaking down the draft stock of the four players potentially if Grant Williams does in fact join Jordan Bone with leaving early from Tennessee. Grant is looking right around a mid-20s pick right now in most mock drafts that have been out there.
He's
receiving the highest grade, and that surprises me. I feel like Jordan Bone is a more NBA-ready guy.
I think Jordan Bone, when it's all said and done, would end up going a little bit higher than Grant. Don't get me wrong. I think Grant's a glue guy in the NBA who will probably, once he gets there, stick on a team.
Glue guy.
I don't think he'd ever be, he's not going to be the same star that he is in college in the NBA more than likely. I just think he's going to be a guy that can come off the bench and give you some solid minutes. Jordan Bone's a little bit more athletic and is a guy that has a little bit more potential to him. So I could see him going a little bit higher than Williams, maybe even toward the end of the lottery.
Now, quickly here as we'll wrap up the first segment, I think it's a given that both of the juniors have better draft stock and NBA potential than both of the seniors in Kyle Alexander and Admiral Schofield, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Nothing wrong with Schofield or Alexander. I think Schofield will definitely get drafted, but by far the juniors do have higher draft stock.
All right, when we come back, going to take a little bit of a look at some things going on in terms of games coming up this weekend locally, some scores from around the area last night, and touch on that Johan Camargo topic that we teased earlier in the show. Stay tuned. This is the Local Zone. Brooks Carter and Jamal Williams sitting in. Stay tuned. ESPN 105 on the Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. Welcome back in to the Local Zone, ESPN 105 on the Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. I am Brooks Carter. With you every weekday from 2 to 3 p.m. You can follow me on Twitter at Brooks A. Carter. Follow the show at LocalZone 105.1 and follow my guest host who will be with me once a week, typically on Wednesdays, but this week of the first week of the show on Thursday. That's Jamal Williams. He is at JWilliamsWDEF. And we talked about it before the break. We'll get to that momentarily and would love your input on this topic about Johan Camargo and whether or not he should be an everyday player. Had that base clearing double last night that drove in four runs and helped lead the Braves in a comeback victory over the Cubs to get one step closer to 500 after going winless in the first series against the Phillies. They are now back to 2-3 with an opportunity to get back to that 500 mark plateau. So would love to get your input on that. 423-648-1051 is the phone number, of course. First, let's run through some upcoming events. We touched on both the CFC and the Chattanooga Red Wolves in the first segment just a little bit. A reminder that they both are in action Saturday, and this is going to be really, really interesting. I want to see who has made the move over into enemy territory, so to speak, if there's fans who or maybe checking out the Red Wolves for the first time, who have been fans of the CFC. But anyways, they start, both of their games start within 30 minutes of each other, and they're really not that far from each other.
No, they're right down the road from each other, really. This will be interesting to see because this is the first time, you know, we were talking about Chattanooga's really soccer crazy. This morning I got the chance to talk with Red Wolves general manager Sean McDaniel, and he told me that they're getting ready to sell this game out probably before it kicks because they're getting really close to having a sellout for the first home game. So it'll be interesting to see how many people get to both games.
Yes, so the Red Wolves play their home opener, first home opener ever this Saturday. That will be versus Ford Madison, and that is at 7 p.m. over at CCS's David Stanton Field down on South Broad. And should be a good time. I think they seat that stadium. They've set it up to seat right around 3,500 as the max capacity for now. One of the only cons to playing over at CCS is with it being a Christian school, there are no alcohol beverage sales there, which I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how much that impacts just the casual fan who wants to go out and watch a soccer game, because CFC does have alcohol sales at their game, correct?
That's right. Yeah, they do. And there'll be something going on for sure. I don't think that it's going to be some sort of dry desert. I would not be surprised if there was something in the area.
Jamal and I know how those SEC games work, where they sneak the mini bottles in the cowboy boots and all that stuff.
That's right.
They pat down the boots now, dude.
Do they really?
For the men, at least. They do to the girls, too, but the girls have places that men are too worried to pat down that they can hide it at.
There you go.
But, yeah, so they play at 7 p.m. Saturday over at CCS's David Stanton Field. Also, as I mentioned, CFC in action. They'll be playing at 7:30 against Detroit City. This is an exhibition match. It is not regular season play yet. And, of course, they're coming. This is only the second time they've been in action this year. They had a friendly a couple of weeks ago against the top professional club out of Guatemala and had almost over 7,000 people in attendance at that game. So kudos to them for coming out in droves and supporting the CFC. Looking around at some high school scores from around the area yesterday, we had a handful of teams in action on the softball front. East Hamilton defeating Bradley Central 12-1. Red Bank took down South Pitt 10-0, and Grundy County falling to Moore County 8-1. Only had a couple of teams in action in baseball yesterday, and they played each other. Marion County taking down Red Bank 9-5 in that one. So that leads us into our topic of discussion here in the second segment surrounding the Atlanta Braves. And yesterday, Julio Camargo, as I mentioned, Johan Camargo, rather, has a base-clearing double that puts the Braves ahead late in that game and wound up leading them to a 6-4 victory. And if you go back and look at Camargo's numbers from last year, he's a guy who batting average was up in the 270s. He had, I think, 18 home runs, had right around 70 RBIs on the year. Pretty good numbers for a guy who they also they didn't really give the full time starting job until the second half of the year. If you'll remember, they brought in Jose Bautista for a little while because the Braves general manager formerly worked with the Toronto Blue Jays, who Bautista had many good years with. They brought in Jose Bautista, experimented with him for a little while, for a few weeks, maybe like a month or so, wound up cutting ties with him and took some at-bats away from Camargo.
Yep, that didn't take long.
No, and they keep talking about how their plan this year is to have him in a utility role, him and Charlie Culberson, and Camargo kind of fitting that old Martin Prado role that he had when he was with the Braves. But Josh Donaldson hasn't really done too much here in his first few games with the Braves, but you pay $22 million for the guy. It's kind of hard to sit him on the bench.
It's really hard to sit him on the bench. And I think the ideal situation for the Braves is that you do have Camargo in that utility role, because he provides you with some position versatility. And he has that option to help fill in for roles for a number of different guys. So, of course, you don't want to have to force him into that lineup, even though he keeps forcing the issue, because no matter how many times the Braves try to force him out, he just keeps asserting himself right back into the forefront.
Yeah, Donaldson is on the year four. He's only got four hits and 18 plate appearances, so he's hitting .222 on the year and no home runs. I mean, he is coming off injury, so I get that, but he's got no home runs, no RBIs, and no extra base hits so far. So, I mean,
and you know, he's off to a slow start. He is. But I think if the Braves want to have the success and make the run that they really want to have, it's helpful to have a guy like Camargo who can fill in for a number of different players at any given time, because injuries are going to happen. So having someone that can just fill a number of roles, it's going to help you, because he's not a bad player by any stretch of the imagination. And if someone says he's a bad player, go back and watch again.
Well, no, and that's not the debate. He had 19 home runs last year. I was one off on that. But that's not the debate. It's more of Donaldson started so slow, and there weren't a lot of Braves fans that really were, you know, just praising the Lord for this move that they made this offseason for Donaldson. A, they probably overpaid for a guy coming off of injury on a 1 year, $22 million contract.
Now, I'll give you that.
I feel like they could have got him for cheaper. I want to know who else was trying to offer him that much money, first of all. I mean, I know he's a former American League MVP, but that was a handful of years ago now, and he's still, like I said, coming off of an injury in a year that was the worst year of his career. And now he's off to this slow start, and Camargo, who is a guy who hit 272 last year, had 76 RBIs, 19 home runs, and just quietly went about his business, went in the back of his mind. I mean, you see it all too often in sports where guys who really struggle to perform, once they start having to worry about if they're going to get pulled out of the lineup and when they're going to get pulled out of the lineup, and it feels like they're constantly trying to be replaced, and that's the case. I mean, you look at it, last year they tried to replace him with Jose Bautista. Well, he performed to a point where they wound up cutting Bautista. Now they've got in Josh Donaldson. How long do you give Donaldson on this huge contract if he keeps underperforming? I know it's through five games.
Well, yeah, we're only five games in. It's too early to make some sort of rash decision. And honestly, with the contract that's associated with him, it's going to be a while before you feel comfortable enough to just say, okay, a change has to be made. And, you know, and I know you said some guys worry about getting pulled out of the lineup. There are other guys that relish that opportunity to say, you know what? Every time I get a shot, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you. And that's honestly the way I look at Camargo, because every time the Braves try and throw something at him and say, all right, he's not exactly our guy, he pops up and he makes something and he's like, I'm going to show you. And he makes a play. And that's why we're even having this discussion right now, because he just keeps making plays.
Yeah, and he has only had 9 plate appearances so far through the first 5 games, and that was only his first hit of the year. So, I mean, it's not like he's off to an incredibly hot start.
No.
But he's not been an everyday player.
No, and being an everyday player leaves that room for discussion where we're questioning, okay, well, if he was playing every day consistently, could he be in a rhythm right now?
Because we saw how good he was when he was an everyday player consistently towards the end of the year last year. This was one of the big topics of discussion in the offseason, was that the Braves should have been content with what they had at third base with Camargo and gone after a corner infielder.
Well,
and
here's
spent
my
their
question.
Money and not re-signed Markakis.
Here's my question. Let's look at Donaldson. I don't think there's going to be any argument.
Corner outfielder, should have said.
If you take Donaldson and he regains form, not MVP form, but not last year's Lowe's form, and he's healthy, I think he makes you a far better team than what you're going to get from a healthy Camargo. I think without question. And while, to a slow start, it's a risk-reward type of deal. Yeah, you risk having him play and play badly for a little bit, but you do know you still have Camargo as that safety blanket, and you know what you have in him. But if Donaldson does turn into be the player that the Braves hope he is, obviously, that takes your team to a whole nother level.
Yeah, and I agree with that. And if they get anything close to MVP form that Josh Donaldson had, then it's a good deal. I still think the risk is much higher than the reward at this point because of how much you paid for him.
Well, I think we're stuck with the contract at this point. I do think they overpaid. But as far as playing one or the other or making the decision to pull him and put Camargo as the everyday guy, I think the risk reward there is, I don't think there is one. I think you risk having Donaldson stink it up a little bit, but if you get the reward, it's huge. And you always know that if it comes to crunch time and the season's too far along, you have Camargo that you can go back to. You have that safety blanket right there. I mean, now, given, like I said, the contract was just a bit much. I do think they overpaid a little bit. I'm right there with you on that one.
Yeah, and I think every other Braves fan is as well, especially considering the start that he's had so far this year. I am Brooks Carter, Jamal Williams sitting in with us today, co-hosting the show. We'll be back when we come back, going to jump into a fun little segment that will be taking place every week that Jamal comes in and fills in. Once a week he'll be in, and it'll be every Wednesday moving forward. It's called Halftime Happenings. It'll be your introduction to it here coming up next. If you haven't ever listened to the podcast we did together, The Fifth Quarter on ESPN Chattanooga.com, typically has nothing to do with sports. So stay tuned. It's going to be fun. It's the Local Zone, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. Welcome back into the Local Zone, ESPN 105.1 The Zone. I'm making Jamal fall on the floor here during the break.
Oh, man, I'm rolling. Okay, I'm going to try and compose myself a little bit.
So this is the Run This Town instrumental, Jay-Z, Kanye, Rihanna, and I said the beginning of that song where the beat starts when it's like, duh, duh, duh. It sounds almost like a walrus.
When it's clapping. And he proceeds to act it out, too.
All right, so let's take a look at some game. Before we jump into the halftime happenings, let's take a look at some local high school sports games coming up tonight. You've got in baseball, South Pitt playing Dade County down in Georgia, a little cross-border rivalry there as Marion and Dade, those two counties border each other. Looking around elsewhere, there is Sell Creek playing Rockwood. You've got this is disorganized on my end here. Now we're down to the section I need to be. We got East Ridge playing Chattanooga Arts and Sciences. You have Macaulay and Bradley Central. Ray County taking on East Hamilton. Chattanooga Central taking on Walker Valley. Lookout Valley taking on Hickson. Hickson, very talented, we know, from Jack Julian pitching that perfect game a couple of days ago earlier this week. Squatchy County and Stone Memorial, they will be taking to the diamond tonight. And wrapping it up here, Meigs County and Bledsoe County will all be playing tonight in baseball. So, as I teased before the break, this is a segment we like to do. We like to do on our podcast, but we're going to keep it going here to kind of keep that fifth quarter feel to our show. And with that in mind, here is our halftime happenings.
Who's in the news?
Check your panties. About 175,000 rice. I think that was supposed to be pantries.
What's the new millennial trend?
Teenagers challenging each other to eat laundry detergent pods.
What video is going viral?
He's climbing in your windows. He's snatching your people up to hide your kids, hide your wife.
It's time for your halftime happenings with Brooks and Jamal.
All right. We've got a couple of good stories on tap for you today.
These are pretty good. These are really good ones, actually.
All right, so starting in Florida, a Florida Man headline once again. If you haven't looked up your Florida Man social media challenge recently, you need to do so. Just search your birthday and Florida Man and see what headline pops up.
Yeah, this is the funniest challenge because I swear all the best news stories start with the fateful phrase, a Florida Man.
So with that in mind, we earlier this week, a Florida Man believes he is a half man, half dog. A forensic psychologist said a former college student believed he was a half dog, half man when he fatally attacked a man and a woman at their home and was found biting one of their faces. The Palm Beach Post reported Dr. Philip Resnick made the conclusion in a 38-page mental health report released this week by the Martin County State Attorney's Office. Investigators say they found the man, Austin Harriff, now 22 years old, biting John Stevens' face while making growling noises.
Oh, goodness.
On August 15th of 2016.
I sure hope he didn't have rabies. Man, I've heard of cat dog. I've never heard of half man, half dog. That's too much. That's too much. Look, I'm telling you, all the best stories start with a Florida man, half dog. That's the best excuse you could come up with.
Well, the thing to me is, you know, you've watched, we grew up in the high school era of the Twilight movies.
Yep.
So you have the half man, half werewolf or whatever they are.
Yeah. Wouldn't that make him a werewolf if he was half man, half dog?
I mean, this is the closest that we've gotten to, I mean, to Twilight. He is a real life version of the Taylor Lautner character now.
So that makes us go back to the team Taylor or what are the Twilight characters? The vampire or the werewolf? You got to pick one.
Yeah. Team Edward and Team
I don't know.
It's Team Edward and I can't remember the other guy's name now.
Yeah, Twilight. Clearly, neither one of us are huge Twilight fans. So there you go.
So man, claiming to be a half man, half dog. So that is down in Palm Beach, Florida. Now the other headline that we found that was fairly hilarious. This comes out of Australia. Australian man loses a bully by farting court case.
Just doesn't smell right about this story.
Okay, there we go. News writing there from Jamal. So, looking at this story, this Australian man was suing his boss, because the boss was apparently bullying him with flatulence.
And get this, he sues him for $1.8 million. What? Do you know how awful his farts had to be for a court to even think about the fact that you asked for $1.8 million?
My wife just texted me. It was Team Jacob.
There you go, Jacob. Edward and Jacob.
Yeah, Team Edward, Team Jacob. My bad. So to run through the story here, an Australian's appeals court on Friday dismissed, this was Friday of last week, a bullying case brought by an engineer who accused his former supervisor of repeatedly breaking wind toward him. He's being nice. He means probably on him. The Victoria State Court of Appeal upheld a Supreme Court judge's ruling that even if the engineer's allegations were true, flatulence did not necessarily constitute bullying.
Look, and maybe this was just his management technique, you know? Maybe the guy was slow to get up from his desk to go wherever he needed to go. You figure the manager comes over there and farts, that'll get you out your chair, won't it?
So the man testified that he had moved out of the communal office space to avoid the supervisor's flatulence. He told the court that the man would then enter the small windowless office several times a day and break wind. The man alleged that Mr. Short, who was the supervisor, would regularly break wind on him or at him, thinking that it would be funny.
Wow.
He would fart, quote, he would fart on me and walk away. He would do this 5 or 6 times a day.
That does sound like bullying, though. Just a little bit.
It's trapping him in his office. He's hotboxing.
He walks out, closes the door behind him. This poor guy. Yeah, you know what? That is bullying. I almost feel bad for the guy.
Well, and the thing is, though, I mean, I don't know if I'm taking it to court. We've all probably been bullied in some form or fashion in this regard. I mean, yeah. I'm a younger brother.
Oh, definitely then.
I mean,
I am too. So
I can remember my brother coming in my bedroom, farting on me, running out, shutting the door, and then holding the lock and not letting me get out.
And there's nothing you can do about it. You're the younger brother.
Or what's worse is if you got a group full of guys. I remember this happening back in high school, and the guy who's driving farts and has the window locks and doesn't roll it down. Prevents you from being able to roll the windows down.
Look, if we sit here and go through all of the fart situations that we've been through in our life, we'll be here for a while.
I mean, maybe I should have sued.
Maybe you should have. Look, if this was worth $1.8 million,
it got dismissed.
It did. Maybe he asked for too much. Your pain and suffering could be worth at least $500,000, Brooks. Come on now. Come on.
Who knows?
I mean, I'm sure you've been through some painful farts in a football locker room or two.
In a society where we're trying to move away from the term boys being boys, this is one of those instances where that still applies, and I think it's okay.
Yeah.
Dudes just farting on each other. I mean, like, that's just...
Now, clearly, one of them was not as okay with the situation as the other.
See, if I'm that other guy, I'm going back at him. I mean, I'm eating chili every night. I'm stopping at the Taco Bell. Until I get this to stop, I'm coming in armed and ready to go back and fire back at the supervisor.
Now we've got a full-on fart war going on in the office. Everybody else is miserable.
Absolutely, and that's the way it's got to be. I don't care if we stink everybody else out of the building. My supervisor is not trapping me in my office anymore.
Right. You know, you got to fight back somehow because clearly the court's not going to back you up. So you got to do something, and your way probably would get him to stop.
I promise it would. All right, that's going to be it for Halftime Happenings this week. As I mentioned, we'll be doing this every Wednesday when Jamal joins us in studio. So if you ever have any funny ideas or headlines, hit us up on Twitter at the show account at LocalZone1051. We'll wrap it up when we come back with some sports tidbits and headlines that we have not gotten into yet. And we'll take your calls if you want to join in on the conversation. 423-648-1051 is the number. We'll be back after this. It's the Local Zone, ESPN 105.1 The Zone, ESPNChattanooga.com. Welcome back in. Final segment of the show here on the Local Zone. I am Brooks Carter, along with my guest host, Jamal Williams, who will be joining me moving forward every Wednesday afternoon each week on the Local Zone. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Brooks A. Carter. He's at JWilliamsWDEF. And, of course, follow the show at Local Zone 1051. Wanted to give you a quick traffic update if you're out on the roadways right now. 75 southbound continues to be an absolute mess, even not even into the afternoon rush hour really yet, but traffic backed up all the way to Highway 153 on 75 southbound there as that left lane at the 75 southbound overpass continues to be closed with TDOT making emergency repairs after everything that happened there earlier this week with that concrete railing collapsing there. And Jamal, I know you and I are still fairly young, but I would venture to say that this is one of the biggest traffic blunders, accidents, whatever you want to call it, in the history of this city.
This is just crazy. Never have I ever thought half an overpass would just fall. I mean, when I first heard it earlier this week, I was like, wait, what do you mean a bridge collapsed? Huh? On the interstate? At the split? No.
Well, I mean, no, it pales in comparison to what happened down in Atlanta a couple years ago,
right?
With the trash cans getting on fire, whatever that was that caught on fire that made the bridge collapse.
But still, this is crazy for us. I mean, seriously, and given Atlanta rebuilt that whole bridge really quickly, and we're talking about it's going to be 3 to 4 weeks to rebuild the side of a bridge. I'm like, well, can we hire the same people Atlanta just hired to rebuild the whole thing in the same amount of time?
I think Atlanta city government might have a little bit more money than Chattanooga city government.
Yeah, but we don't have to rebuild the whole bridge. I'm just throwing something out there.
Fair enough. That also was an absolute artery of interstate highway in the entire United States. A reminder, Lookout's opening day is tonight. I believe first pitch is right around 6:15. David Jane Wells will be coming to you live coming up next. In fact, they'll be doing their entire show just down the road from us here on Carter Street in downtown up at AT&T Field I think they've got a few guests lined up as well coming on to talk about the Lookouts and their new season coming up, as it's the first time they will be as a part of the Reds organization since 2008, rekindling that relationship with them as their Double-A team once again. So I know a lot of folks locally are excited about that. Jamal, as we kind of have just a few more minutes left before we toss it out to them, A, how did your bracket wind up looking coming into the Final Four? And B, do you think these Cinderella Auburn Tigers, to draw it back here locally, can pull it all off?
Hey, look, I hope Auburn can pull it off. Let me go ahead and tell you, the only team in the Final Four that I have there was Virginia. That's it. My Final Four is awful.
I actually had Michigan State beating Duke.
I did not. My first round was phenomenal. Two teams that threw me off were Oregon and UC Irvine. I had every other game right moving forward. And then I was feeling good even into the Elite Eight. And then everything just collapsed, and I picked nobody. So it got bad. It's pretty bad right now.
No, there was a lot of chalk in the bracket this year, where a lot of teams, the higher seed, we didn't really ever have that. Like the lowest seed we had win in the first round was a 13 UC Irvine. I actually picked that game because Kansas State's best player was injured.
Right.
And then, you know, looking at everything else, you had all the one seeds make the Sweet 16. You had all the two seeds make the Sweet 16, and I think all the three seeds made the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it was pretty crazy to see how chalk it was for the first time in a few years. I actually didn't mind it. Last year you had one regional, you had a Sweet 16 that had a 5-seed Kentucky, yep, a 9-seed Kansas State, an 11-seed in Loyola Chicago, and then I think there was also a 7-seed Nevada in it last year. That was the Sweet 16.
Yeah, this year just made a whole lot more sense, and now I'm just kicking myself for picking Duke to win it all. I just shouldn't have done that.
Can the Fighting Bruce Pearls bring it home?
I hope so. I really do. I had them going far enough, but I had Kentucky beating them, honestly. I didn't think they'd make it past Kentucky, but now I'm kicking myself for that too. I hope they win it. I'd love to see Auburn, because if I started the season telling you, you know what, we're going to have Auburn in the Final Four, you probably would call me crazy.
Well, I mean, they were among the top three ranked teams coming into the year, but then they kind of faltered in the middle of the year, but then got hot at the right time.
And that's all that matters. That's what basketball is about. If you get hot at the right time, you can win it all.
All right, Jamal, thanks for coming in with us. He'll be in every Wednesday, as I mentioned. I hope you enjoyed having him on the airwaves with me. Thanks for tuning in once again. This has been The Local Zone each weekday from 2 to 3 p.m. Coming up next, it's David and Jay on Press Row, live from AT&T Field.